My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Rock veterans The Who have fired their drummer. Zach Starkey is gone, having been fired and reinstated earlier in the month. The problem with Zach, apparently, was overplaying. Dave Hingerty is a lecturer at the BIM Music Institute, as well as being a session drummer. Afternoon, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing, Sean? Great to talk to you.
What does overplaying mean if you're a drummer?
I suppose, in different situations, drummers will be given the opportunity to express themselves, let's say, and a lot of lineups, a lot of bands like, say, Led Zeppelin and Rush and those kind of some more kind of avant-garde jazz bands, the drummer will be given lots of freedom. But most of the time, you're encouraging in the college, unfortunately, you have to encourage the drummer to play to the song, and they don't always get that freedom that they want. I've had that experience a little bit myself, where I felt like I had to sort of keep my musical manners and just play timekeeper and not much else, you know. So it can get frustrating at times, but you just have to play the patience game.
But if you're a drummer, I would have thought that maybe it's a matter of you're part of the rhythm section. It's you and the bass player kind of forming a kind of a unit there and moving the rest of the song, rather than it's just the drummer's fault if it's too loud.
Our job is to be timekeepers first and foremost. But a friend of mine said recently, a well-known singer from this country, said that he heard once that drummers are either metronomic or they're painterly, and that he worked with a drummer once, and the unfortunate thing was that he was neither metronomic nor painterly. But I like the word painterly anyway, and it just means that a drummer can be a bit more colourful or musical or expressive and isn't just relied upon just to be that timekeeping force with the bass player, as you said. They can be a little bit more than that, and they can express themselves in different textures and colours and be more orchestral, just like Ringo Starr was with the Beatles, for example. More than just a timekeeper, he was very orchestral.
Yeah,
I don't know about Zach.
Yes, it sounds like maybe Zach wasn't being orchestral so much. Just the complaint seemed to be from Roger Daltrey that he was just too loud.
Too loud. Well, you know, you do get that, and some of the students, I've just done some exams in the university, and there was one or two students and they were really hammering the kit when they didn't really need to, you know. And I think yes, at times you have to hit hard and other times not. But I think it's kind of ironic that Roger Daltrey would be given out about Zach Starkey's volume when he spent so many decades with the crazy Keith Moon. Nobody noticed that irony. No, I think Roger Daltrey has hearing problems, and I think maybe, not a scapegoat is a heavy word, but maybe he was looking for an excuse to blame somebody for the irritability of the way he was feeling that day. Who knows? I think Pete Townsend was trying to be the sort of arbitrator in the situation, wasn't he? And he was trying to make peace between the two. But I don't know how that went. I think it's difficult for... I think singers and drummers clash often. I think if you were to pick two of the band members who clash the most often, for some reason, it's the drummer and the singer. I don't know why that is. I think, you know, I suppose it's like having a gorilla and a peacock in the room together. They probably learn to get on, but they don't really ever bond, you know. And it's like they're just different ilk, different styles, different priorities. I think the drummers don't really necessarily want to be in the limelight, whereas the singer would be much more comfortable in that situation. And there might be resentment over the years. Maybe the drummer doesn't get enough of the royalties. Ends up in a council house like myself. And then the singer might end up in a mansion. And, you know, eventually that might become a little bit of an issue between them. But The Who, like, and some bands are great at sharing out the spoils. I think R.E.M. and Radiohead and U2, your listeners might be able to correct me, were the type of bands who shared all of the royalties equally. Mm. And you could argue that's a good case for longevity. Then therefore everybody gets on well and they're able to stay the course. Whereas other bands, if there's some sort of lack of equilibrium or balance somewhere along the way, then it's going to come out in some sort of resentment and an argument, you know?
Yeah. Though I suppose that for a band, yeah, there's a need to appreciate what everybody brings to it, in that, you know, people might notice the drummer, be looking at the drummer, but the drummer can be adding all sorts of subtle things that you mightn't be aware of unless you listen very carefully. But, you know, that can raise a song from just being dum, 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 dum.
Yeah. And sometimes you just have to do dum, 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 dum. That's fine. Yeah. Horses for courses, and knowing when to, yeah, be able to add in a little bit of a touch of flair, I think. That's the successful session drummers would be able to do that. They'd be able to, I suppose, toe the line in some sessions and then really go for it in others. Like I've been in a couple of weeks ago, I was in recording sessions and one of the artists didn't want me to express myself at all. Mm. And then a few days later, another person was asking me to try to represent somebody's poor mental state. And I had to do the opposite. And I had to almost play a different bar, a different beat every bar, and to the point of where his mellifluous voice was leading the way. Grum Gallagher is the songwriter's name, and I had to be the sort of the person in the background who was causing sort of upset and a disjointed sort of feel to the song. And then eventually it all sort of calms at the end, and there's the release after the tension. So, you know, I think it's important for a drummer to tune in to what the songwriter needs, the producer needs, and ask them and have those conversations and ask them, how loud do you want me to be and what kind of sticks do you want me to use? And do you want me to express myself in some sort of fancy way? Or, you know, there's lots of famous songs where you can imagine, like 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover is the one that everybody talks about.
Mm, yeah.
It's the Paul Simon song where Steve Gadd, the famous drummer, I think they were all going off for lunch or something, and they couldn't get a beat for the song. And they tried all sorts of simple stuff, not so simple stuff. And they were leaving to go for lunch, and Steve Gadd started jamming on his own. And they ran back in and said, "What are you playing now? That's great. That'll fit perfectly, you know." And he was just doing that drummery kind of thing where you indulge in your own kind of whatever you fancy that day. But they actually used that beat, you know, so as soon as the pressure was off and people weren't listening anymore, that's when he came up with that great, fantastic drum beat.
Which is almost kind of like a military, it has a kind of vague military kind of feel.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. And he was well known for having a little bit of Latin flavor and a little bit of that marching flavor as well. I think it's good if drummers have some sort of identity like that. Again, all of our favorite drummers, if you think about them from Ringo onwards, will have some sort of strong identity in their playing. And that's what I always encourage as well in the university. I'm finished now, actually. I've just handed in my notice a few weeks ago.
But all right.
I've always, you know, there was a lot of trouble a few months ago. It was in the news, and so for me, it just the flavor has changed in there, and I didn't really enjoy the last few months as much as I did previously, and I just it has changed, and I'm not sure I'm enjoying the changes that have gone on. So I'm happy to sort of reinvent myself in other ways.
Okay, well, Dave, we wish you the very best of luck with your reinvention and, of course, your continuing drumming as well. Dave, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Dave Hingerty there, a former university lecturer in BIM and, of course, a session musician as well.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.